Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Vital Health Community question and answer coaching call for the month of December 2017. This is actually our last call of the year, and we'll be heading into a whole new year just in a few weeks and probably 3 weeks from now, less than that. So I'm excited to be here and help you, support you in whatever way you need. Generally, we ask that you have a specific question. I'm not allowed to diagnose or treat on these calls, and I'm going to just say, here's the thing. Everything that we say on these calls is for educational purposes only. If you're under the care of a doctor or you have any specific health concerns, take what I say as education and run it by your doctor to make sure that it fits into your particular picture. So that said, the way that you can get your questions answered is you raise your hand, and I have two people that have already raised their hands, or you submitted it on the Q&A part, which I don't see any submitted there, or in the chat. The chat is a little harder because the chat flies by with comments with everybody. So if you have a particular question and you want me to answer it and it feels like I'm not seeing it, then just go ahead and go to the Q&A box and type it in there. I see quite a number of people now on the web. Pearl, hi. Lynn gave me your labs, and I see you have your hand up, so you're second in line with your hand up. Beatrice, Lynn, Paula, Mary, Cece. Okay, that's who I see on here. There may be more, but that's who I actually see who've typed in questions. I'm going to see how many people are on here. All right, so we got about 10 people on the web, and we have about 6 people on the line. And hi to Valerie and Mary. All right, so Mary, looks like Mary has her hand up first, and then Paula. So Mary, hi.
Hi, how you doing, Dr. Marie and Marie?
Hello?
Hi, can you hear me?
I'm not hearing you. Let me check my volume.
Oh. Hello? Am I muted?
I'm going to open up Lynn.
I can hear you, Mary.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Let me check my mic. I just changed my settings so that it would come out my microphone and my headset instead of through the sound. So playback device. It says speakers Plantronic. Let me change this and see if this works. Hello?
Hi.
Lordy, Lordy,
hello?
I'm not hearing. I'm muted.
Here.
You guys are hearing me, correct?
Yes.
I'm not hearing anybody. Let me take it off the headphone and see if that works. Hi back. I'm going to put it to no, something's wrong. Something's not working. I'm going to have to call back in. I'm sorry, you guys aren't hearing me. Or I'm not hearing you. I think it sounds like you're hearing me. So let me try resetting this. Let me just try. My headset may not be working. Let me take it off headset. I don't know if it's going to like it. I'm going to try calling back in. Sorry about that. It's working this afternoon. Let me just drop myself off here. Lynn, are you hearing me? Yeah, you're hearing me, but I'm not hearing you. Okay, let me...
The moderator has left the conference.
Right. Let's see. I'm back. Mary, can you hear me?
I can.
Mary, speak.
Hi. Something's hello. Funny.
Hello.
Mary, speak.
I just heard the little ding.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Let's try calling in on the telephone part.
Hello?
I can hear you, Mary.
Oh, I can hear you, too.
Yep. She just can't hear us.
I can hear you.
Oops, I don't even know the number anymore. Four two five seven. I don't even remember the number. I have to look it up. Let me go look at my email. I used to have it memorized, but once I started to call in all the time on the cell. Let's see. Vital. Here we go.
Welcome to the conference. Thank you. Moderator ID accepted. All guests are currently muted. To unmute all guests, press 99. For help with host options, press *0. You will now be connected with the conference.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Ken?
I can, yes.
I can hear you, but it's so faint, it's ridiculous. Let me see if there's a volume on. Let me see if I can turn your volume up.
Yeah, you are a little faint. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
This is Lynn.
Yeah, I can hear you now. Hang one second. I'm going to try something.
Okay. Can you still hear?
All right. So, Mary. Hello, Mary.
Hi. Can you hear me now?
I can. Something was screwy. I had to turn it up to full volume, like number 18 on this thing. Now I'm on the phone, which I don't like very much, but it's a little scratchy. Let me see if my headset works.
Yeah, you sound a little distant.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Better. Okay, good. Yeah,
I think
much better on the computer for some reason than the thing. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Good. I actually initially did start, too, because all the background noise, I was trying to see if I can hear in and whatever the case is. But anyways, yeah, I have questions, as I always have questions, so I'm happy to start us off if you wish.
Okay.
So I've got a couple of questions. Thanks for connecting me with Lisa. We've been communicating whatever we haven't started yet. The timing has just been crazy, I guess, for the both of us. So, yeah, so we're going to be speaking on Saturday as our first initial kind of thing.
Good.
Yeah,
she's really thorough, so that's great.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I'm very happy with that. So just some really, simple questions. Some may seem kind of, silly, but I'm going to ask them anyways. I'm going to just start off with just some things. I just want to I'll give you a bit of an update. So I think I told you the last time. I'm not sure if I did. I can't remember. I had a lengthy Skype call with Dr. Lordy.
Yeah. Your naturopath or?
No, Dr. Lordy, the one that you recommended.
Lordy. I thought you said we're Lordy. Okay, got it. You did have a conversation with him. No, you didn't. I didn't hear that. That's wonderful.
Yes. So I had lengthy Skype conversation. Was quite good. I'm hoping to connect with him. I'm hoping to connect if I can next week with him because I did call the clinic. They sent me all the information in terms of a recommendation of what they would be doing and all that stuff with a breakdown of finances and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then he said, once you have that, let's just, kind of talk again and see, and just talk further about it if I had any questions, which I do. So that's the one thing. I'm telling you, I've been hustling to try, and I'm amazed at how I actually have been able to get a hold of people and actually have conversations with it. I'm awed. So I also had a conversation with Brian as well, Brian Clement.
Mm-hmm.
Also, so, and both of them were amazing in terms of providing information and recommendations and whatever the case is. So that's been actually quite good. I've been very happy with that. So I need to sort of, in the new year, just because I've had stuff at work going on that I haven't been able to leave work. So today I actually had a conversation with my administrators, and I've put in a note for a medical leave as of next week.
Great. So you focus on yourself.
That's right. Yeah, and they've both been, they've been quite amazing with just, telling them what's been happening or whatever the case is. So they've been really good with that. So I've just got a lot of calls to do. I have some people to talk to and all that sort of stuff. So that's on the ball. When I spoke to Brian, and as you know, too, I mean, his big recommendation, especially, is like, you have to be consistent. And obviously his recommendation, yours is similar, have to be like 100% kind of raw thing, right? I don't know what your thought is with that, but, that's one of his recommendations, obviously, with the fruit and all that sort of thing, right?
Right.
And, we had a little bit of discussion with that with Dr. Lordy as well. Now, my question is around a couple of items that I'm taking that I have been sort of a little bit concerned about. So first of all, the konjac noodles, raw or not raw, I don't even know. And I would just kind of, you know, boil water for a little bit, and I just put them in for like a minute or two and take them out and then eat them, right?
Yeah. Yeah, probably not raw, but here's been my take on them, because it, calorically there's nothing. It's just
nothing.
Really fiber. I mean, there's no calories.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, I don't know, I doubt they're raw, but it doesn't really matter, in my opinion. I mean, just because it's so, it's like one calorie per bag or something.
Right. Not even, yeah.
Not even, right? So it's all fiber. It's like you know, is sawdust raw or not? Well, it's not, you know, it's going to go right through you. So that's.
So it's fiber, and the fiber is coming from a vegetable, obviously. So, but they're processing it to put it into a noodle, though, aren't they not?
Yes, they'd have to, and I don't know that it could be raw. I don't know. I've never seen that root in its raw state, you know, so I don't know what it's like.
What it looks like.
I don't know if the heat then makes it gelatinous, right, as opposed to scraping it out of the root of the plant.
Right.
I don't really know. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
Like I said,
that's
I've never been
question.
Really concerned, because I do eat some cooked food, and
it's not
significant enough to make a difference. Fats, I'm super careful about. I will not eat cooked fats, because
the heated fats, for sure. Yeah, I get that. Right. I was just curious. And so when you actually make your konjac noodles, do you put them in warm water, or you just eat them out of the bag, rinse them off, and there you go?
I just rinse them off and eat them. That's how I do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
But the point is, I mean, you really want the purest, most fresh food possible
fresh food.
In dealing with
yeah.
what you're dealing with. So you may not be
yeah.
doing konjac noodles. Maybe zucchini noodles are going to be a better choice.
Right. Right, which is what I've been doing as well. But, like, you know, just for a change, I do like konjac noodles once in a while. You know, it's fine. And I love the zucchini noodles. Don't get me wrong. Cheer.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one down. The other one is, I'm not doing any sweeteners. I'm not doing no sugar, nothing, and none of that, like, obviously. But I do have a question, and it's not even for the purpose of doing it now or what, but I just a curiosity. You know, some of the alternative sugars like lucuma and what's the other one there?
Lucuma is not necessarily low glycemic, so that one I don't even do. I mean, I would occasionally, but it's not. I wouldn't consider that low glycemic. It does have carbohydrate. Versus Lohan, which is
Lohan, the monk
Lohan,
fruit.
Monk fruit, right?
Right, which is still that as an. Which right now he even said even that, like, for the first year, at least minimum, none of that anyways, I'm assuming. And the other one is...
Well, actually not. I mean, because Lohan, I would look into it and ask, because, if you know, depending on who you work with. But they've had their studies. If you look up Lohan, monk fruit, there are studies that show that it has positive effects on digestion and anti-cancer effects.
Oh, okay. Good to know. Okay. Interesting. So the other one is, I want to say, I forgot what it's called again. I'll have to look it up. Okay, I'll come back to that one. There's lucuma, there's the monk fruit, and there's a mesquite. What is mesquite?
Mesquite is from a tree, a mesquite tree.
Okay, so is it a veggie? It's a fruit.
I would say it's more of probably a starchy veggie, if you want to call it that. Again, look up the glycemic index of it. Look up the carbohydrate, the net carbohydrate count of it.
Yeah, okay, no problem. Okay, I was just curious. I kept always meaning to ask you that. Okay, so having said that, so that's just nothing that I'm going to have or take now. I just more of a curiosity. But, okay, so the other thing is I have two vitamin C powders that I was taking. One was from Marcus, can never say his last name, Marcus.
Right, Rosencrantz or something like that.
Rosencrantz or whatever, yeah. And I had actually got that muscle tested, and it also tested pretty good. It is, you know, comes from, obviously, fruit vitamin C comes from. Various roots or whatever the case is. And that one, and the next one that I got was the Health Force nutritional one.
Right, the pure, you know that one.
Right, so, and then you also had, you know, when I was doing, going through some of your information, I had bought prior a bag of pomegranate powder, right, just before all this happened. But not the vitamin C's. I was taking it, but not knowing what was going on either. So is that something also that I have to refrain from and take it in a different form?
You know what I would do with it? I would look at, because you want to get it from whole food, right? You want to get
the
whole food is the best form versus a synthetic. I would test your blood sugar with it And if it doesn't cause your blood sugar to go up, if it does cause your blood sugar to go up, it's going to feed, you know, cancer and bugs, gut bugs and other kinds of bugs. So I would look at that. What does it do to your blood sugar?
Because I don't usually take it by itself. I usually throw it in my green smoothie anyways, right? So,
right, but test
yeah.
the green smoothie test without it, test your green smoothie with it. If it doesn't raise it, I wouldn't be so concerned about it. I think it's just a whole food source of, you know, it's low temperature dried and it's got acerola and kamu and all those kind of really good things in it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And the other thing he was talking about was, well, Brian was mentioning what's really good, because I told him about, you know, what's with, like, I get the whole, okay, no sugar, whatever the case is, but there's so much out there about some of the fruits that have such amazing antioxidant, you know, effects, and it's great for cancer, and blueberry, for instance, right? And he's like, well, you know, don't eat the blueberries, buy the blueberry oil.
Blueberry oil?
Yeah, he said there's a kidney, and he says actually it's a Canadian blueberry oil.
Huh.
I believe that's what he said, yeah. I should get back to my notes.
Fruit doesn't have much in the way of oil, so that
oil of blueberry from this.
Oh, like an essential oil, like essential.
No, I don't think.
No,
it didn't sound like an essential. No,
from blueberry.
It's an actual an oil of blueberry from the seeds. It's not an essential oil because I looked it up. I tried to look it up. I don't know which exactly the one he was talking about, but okay. So you don't know anything about that, eh?
No, I don't. And, you know, I'd be curious to see what the antioxidant status is, because usually the antioxidants are not in the oil. It's usually in
the dark skin issue.
Yeah, exactly. So that's more in the fiber component. So I don't know how much you would have. I'd have to research that. And I'm surprised it would have to be a very carefully processed, low-temperature processed oil, because otherwise you get the oxidative byproducts.
Yeah. Yeah, just like anything else, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. And just, I got just two more questions, and they're really quick. Do you know anything about the Epstein-Barr virus?
Yep, Epstein-Barr virus is a very common virus that affects the liver function and can be a hidden source of problems in people over the long
haul.
So it's common. A lot of people have it. And it comes from mono. If you've ever had mononucleosis, it's the virus that causes that. And then it goes latent in the body and kind of rears its ears. Do you have that?
Well, you know what? I mean, I haven't been diagnosed with any of that kind of stuff or anything like that. But when I've been reading, you know, medical median, forget his first name there, he's big on this, you know, EBV virus. And he says it's like, you know, it affects your thyroid, it can affect this, it can affect that, or whatever the case is. And I'm like, okay, well, I've never in my life had mono that I know of, so I don't know if it's connected
you don't know.
To that.
But he, you know, he talks in there a lot about how it's hard to detect it until it's really at a later stage. So, you know, and his approaches are all food-based approaches, you know, various herbs and various foods. So he can't go wrong, but, you know, just watch. He does, you know, propose a lot of fruit.
He does.
Go with the vegetable and herb. Recommendations. You can't go wrong with it. It's just more good stuff.
Oh, yeah. The vegetable herbs and some of the good fats that he can recommend are actually quite good, too.
Yeah.
And that was my, you know, common sense told me basically the same thing. So I'm like, wow, it's pretty high on the fruit. And he's got, like, high, you know, tropical fruits that are high on the glycemic index as well, right? So
tropical fruits are super high.
Yeah. So, which makes sense. I mean, if there's anything I miss, it's like a bloody banana, but, you know, whatever. I can live without it.
I can live without it, right? I haven't had a banana in, 6 years. I haven't had a banana in over 6 years.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to say that maybe one day I can eat it with, like, a leaf of, you know, greens
at least, wrapped in a couple of leaves, right? That's how I eat pineapple these days, but I never had real fondness for banana, so I never tried it. And seriously, with banana, with pineapple, I only eat it when I'm in Hawaii. I don't even bother eating it here. I eat it with a green smoothie, or I wrap it in a lot of leaves.
Right, yeah. Like, those are my favorite bananas, not pineapples and mangoes, three of my favorite foods. But anyhow, that's good. I'm doing well without them anyways. But the last thing I have a question about, it just came up yesterday when I was doing some IV, right, bite C yesterday, and the lady was talking about herbs that are, there's herbs. I guess maybe there are Ayurvedic herbs or whatever that have a high lead content.
Well, anything can have a lead. It depends on the soil and where it's grown, and there's a lot of lead in the environment. So I think,
you know, depending on where you're getting them from and how they're grown. And, I mean, you run that risk with rice having arsenic in it and various sundry things having, you know, when you get things from China, I know that's an issue. I know that when I buy stuff from Z Natural Foods, and they have this whole big disclaimer about how they check everything and they, you know, they're really careful. And if they get stuff from countries that don't have an organic certification, that they do third-party testing. And so, you know, I mean, you can worry about everything and just stop eating and drinking altogether, but that's only a temporary solution. Right? Because otherwise it kills you, right? So you can get away with that for a couple of months, and then, well, there you go. I mean, if you've got extra storage, you can. You probably can't. You probably can deal with that for maybe you could do two months of no eating at all. But you know what? We have to make our absolute best choices, and you have to be more careful. And then you have to just let it go. Because, right, you have to make sure, you research, but there could be lead in anything. There could be arsenic in anything. So, and other heavy metals, depending on where they're grown and the quality of the agriculture that's growing them.
Right. And you recommend Mountain Rose as well, which I'm assuming that they're pretty clean as well. So I've bought stuff from them, and I really liked it. Yeah.
And I don't know that they have Ayurvedic herbs there. They have more domestic.
Just herbs.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, and did you end up ever actually contacting that blood place?
No, I did. I didn't have time to really, like, call them and do that. I think I put my name in, though, and asked, but I never heard back. It was really, because it was like 700.
Couldn't find a number.
A phone number?
Did you end up finding a phone number?
No, I don't know. I never looked for one No, but I think I left a message on their little sheet. You know, they have a little contact form on the site.
Yes.
But, you know what bothered me about it was like $700 and something for the unit.
Okay.
And then it was a big cost on a monthly basis for the cartridges, because that didn't cover the disposables. So whereas now we have these needles that cost 25 cents a piece, these were these cartridges that were going to cost like a couple $100 to replace. So it seemed like a large fee for it. But also, it wasn't real clear how you could get it. It was like, I like to go someplace and just click and buy it. You know what I mean? And it was like, you have to contact the representative, you have to put your name in, you have to. So, no, I never followed up with it. I'm hoping that they have more, that those are more accessible soon. Sooner rather than.
Well, I was just going to say, I went and did some digging, and I got a phone number for you. Contact name.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, write it, because I'm going to be taking time off over the holidays, and I may have some actual time to follow up with things.
Okay. Now, I don't know if she's a Canadian rep, but if she is, you can always ask if they know an American rep, right? So it so happened I was speaking to it, and it was a friend of mine, and we happened to talk about it when we were at a restaurant, which this woman was wearing. And she said, well, my sister looked into it because her daughter is diabetic, and they're going to get one later on. And then she had a contact name. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh,
what's
that's great.
What is the, you know? So, and then I was thinking of you just send you the information. I didn't know how far you went with that. Okay, so I'll email you that information.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be great. I know one person I talked to in our program has a daughter who's diabetic, and I think she said they were using it, and it was like what she really liked about it was that she could have it hooked up to her phone, and it would give an alert if her daughter's sugars ever went, you know, either too far up or too far down. And I think that's phenomenal. That, you know,
that's
fantastic. I think it's the wave of the future, and I think as, you know, the technology gets more accessible, more and more people will have it, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Perfect. And you know what? I have one more question, but you can move on. It's nothing major. So I'll just wait on the line. So no worries.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much.
And then I'll come back to you. And okay. Great. Thanks.
Nah. No problem.
Hi there, Pearl.
Hi.
Hi. I heard you had some questions about your lab that Lynn very nicely put up in a spreadsheet for me.
Okay.
Yes,
I'm wondering.
Yeah, tell me your questions.
Well, if you can just tell me how you read this and what is going on that I need to do to correct something or to heal out, to heal.
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, it's not a very it doesn't have complete thyroid, so I don't know what's going on with your thyroid at all, but there's a suspicion there. But when I look at it, first of all, congratulations, your glucose is great. It's 81. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. It looks to me, based on the fact that you have low creatinine and low protein and albumin, where is that one? Albumin, I think it is, or globulin, let me see. Globulin. It looks like you may be having some either not taking in enough protein or some difficulty with digesting protein. I mean, these are not outside of the normal lab range. They're just outside of the optimal range. So I would be looking at making sure that you're getting enough protein, making sure that you're chewing your food really well and, you know, doing all of our nice little rituals before meal to relax. But also look at stomach acid. You may have some low stomach acid and that not be able to do that. So it's really a matter of looking. Sometimes it's just a matter of not eating enough and not having enough protein. But that's definitely showing here. So I would look at, in the meantime, while you try to get the stomach acid up or figure out why it's low, you can look at protein powders and take some supplemental protein powders to help you along the way as that happens.
Okay, that I'm doing. What would be?
So I would do, what I would do is do some diet logging for a few days and then plug it in. There's a number of online programs, Fit Day, and there's a whole bunch of them. I don't even know what the names of them are anymore, but online programs where you can go and you can put in your food and it will tell you the calories, the fat, the protein, the vitamins, the minerals in there. And I would look to see, how much do you weigh? Are you above weight, low weight?
132.5.
And then what's, how tall are you?
5'1.5".
Okay, so you've got a little extra weight on your body. You probably, at that size, probably need, I would target for getting 60 grams of protein a day. So see if that's what you're getting in.
Okay.
Okay. And if not, you know, are you taking any digestive enzymes?
Yes.
You are? Digestive bitters?
I have kale that I can eat before meals.
Are you doing that consistently?
No.
Okay. So I would consistently, maybe 10, 15 minutes before you eat, while you're making your food, take some kale or dandelion or arugula or something, but you don't want to just eat it. You just want to take a very small handful, like mouthful. You put it in, not even a mouthful, just a small amount. You put it in your mouth and you chew it, and you chew it, and you chew it, and you keep chewing it. When you think you should be swallowing it, you keep chewing it till it just basically turns to liquid, and you allow the bitters from there to be stimulating the receptors under your tongue, and that's going to help to start up your digestive tract. But the other thing you need, and it's hard to tell from this. Let me look to see how your alkaline phosphatase is. That's pretty good. The other thing, it's possible that you're low in zinc. And if you're low in zinc, it's hard to stimulate your own stomach acid. So do you take any zinc?
Well, I have liquid zinc, but when I body test it, my body doesn't always want it.
Okay, so take it whenever your body says yes. So I would test it on a regular. How often do you test it?
Usually about every week or every other week.
Okay. Okay. You know, And when you test it, you may have gone a week or two without it, and it doesn't test, or it does test on a regular. So how long do you go between taking it is what I'm trying to ask.
Oh, right now it's been, I bet, at least a month that my body has said no to it.
Said no to it. Okay. So maybe not. Yeah, I'm looking at a marker that sometimes indicates low zinc, and yours is fine, the alkaline phosphatase. So I'm just trying to grasp at it. Maybe just that you're not making enough stomach acid. It may be that maybe that you're just not taking in enough protein for what your body needs. So I would do a 3-day diet analysis and just see how much it is. How much protein powder are you taking in?
Well, I have a plant protein that says to take a scoop of that, and I have hemp protein where it wants 3 tablespoons. And whatever it's recommended on the bottle is what I use, or on the bag.
Okay. Do you use it one or the other, or do you use both on the same day?
Well, I would use one or the other per meal. But in the morning with my smoothie, I always put in bone meal.
Bone broth powder? Is that what you mean? Or bone?
protein powder.
A bone broth protein powder, okay. Add it up, you know, and see how much you're taking and see if that adds up, that plus your intake adds up to what you need. I mean, if you're taking it three times a day, it sounds like you're getting a fair amount. Depending on the protein powder, it could be anywhere from 10 to 20, 18, something like that, per serving.
Yeah.
So if you were doing that three times a day, that should get you up there. So something else going on then. Why you're not getting your protein in. Okay. And your thyroid stimulating hormone is a little bit out of the optimal range. I'd like to see it more like 2. Yours is 3.13. But there's no way for me to know why, because that's the only thing you got done with the TSH. You'd have to get your total T4 and your free T3 and your thyroid antibodies to see what's going on.
I will send that to you then, because I did the protein one, or the thyroid one that you recommended, plus another one. I had them do 2 thyroid tests.
Okay, let me look to see if they actually did it. I'm looking at the original. Lynn put it in a spreadsheet for me. I'm looking to see. Okay, it looks like they did the antibodies, thyroid peroxidase. Those are all negative. The TSH was 3.3, but that's it. I don't see. I don't see the T3 or the T4. So it looks like you don't have an autoimmune. That's good. That's very good. Your vitamin D looks pretty good. Where was it? 73. Your vitamin D is looking good. The main things that I'm seeing are the low protein and low cholesterol. I'm concerned that you're not digesting well, because if you're taking in fats and you're taking in protein, but it's not getting utilized. I mean, cholesterol is 119. That's very low. On the other hand, your iron is a little bit on the high side. Do you take a supplemental iron?
No.
You don't?
Let me see. No.
Six ferritin. I don't see ferritin. Yeah. Well, that's an excellent source of, 132 is a little on the high side, just a little over the optimal, but to be getting that without any supplementation, I think that's pretty amazing. I think it looks like there may be some sort of low-grade chronic bacterial infection. I mean, it could be. Maybe it's a gut bacteria that's out of proportion, but it looks like you've got a little slightly out of range neutrophils and a little bit low on the white blood cell count and a little bit high on the monocytes. So there's possibility. Maybe it's something out of whack in your gut. Do you do any probiotics?
No.
No?
I have probiotics, but every time I test, my body doesn't want them.
Do you eat probiotic-containing foods, sauerkraut, kefir, any of that?
Yes.
You do, on a regular basis?
Yes, I'll have sauerkraut. I'll have coconut yogurt. I have that every day.
Okay, so you are getting plenty of probiotic in there. Yeah, well, there's a possibility. I can't really tell from here, but I'm just telling you what looks out of balance. And, again, none of these are in the disease range. So just so you know, these are just outside of optimal, right? And these are things that you could optimize. Your potassium's a tiny bit low. It could be adrenals. It's very hard to just look at a lab and understand, you know, what's going on without a whole lot of questions, and we don't have time to go through a full lab analysis here. But what I would say, bottom line here, would be you want to improve your digestion. If you're taking digestive enzymes with every meal, are you doing that?
Yes.
Okay. Make sure you're chewing your food real well. Look at the quality. It may not be a great quality digestive enzyme. Maybe it's a low potency and you might have to take more. What brand do you use?
I can go check. I got the name from Lynn.
Okay.
So it's a good quality. It's not something that you just picked up at the local health food store. Why don't you go ahead and take a little bit more with your meals?
Okay.
And do you have a very low-fat diet? Do you eat enough fat?
I think so. I eat seeds and nuts and
avocado
and
coconut.
Avocado.
Do you have a good source of omega-3s? Flax, sesame flax, hemp, chia.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
You do those on a regular basis?
Yes.
And how do you feel? Bottom line is, how do you feel? What do you have? Low energy? Are you good energy? What is it that's going on for you?
I feel fine.
You feel fine.
I have energy. I can walk so much better, having reduced the weight, and health wise, I can exercise more now, and
awesome.
Yeah, I feel really good. That's why, you know, I'm wondering.
Yeah, there's nothing here that's, like I said, alarming or really out. There's a slightly high TSH, but without knowing some of the other numbers, I wouldn't know what, you know, what to say there. And it just looks like, based on some of these numbers, that you might have slightly low or slightly some mild, very low-grade bacterial infection. And I'm not going to say that you do. I'm just saying these are what the numbers might suggest. You also looks like with the high level of MCV that potentially B12 or folate are out of balance. Do you take a supplement with any B12 in it?
Yes, I had B12, and I was taking it. Then my body said no when I tested it, and I just tested it yesterday, and my body still says no. It doesn't want to. I do take B-complex, so that my body wants once a day.
Okay. Now, with the B12, it might be the format that it's in. Is it a methyl? Is it a cyano? Is it hydroxy?
It's liquid.
It's a liquid
one. Too. I asked Lynn for the name of a good one.
Right. It just may be that it may not be the right type for your body.
Oh.
You might need a different form. I mean, I'm sure it's not cyano if Lynn recommended it. If it's seeking help, then it's liposomal. I'm going to ask Lynn to come on the line so she can tell me what she recommended to you. But you may have to switch brands. If your body's saying no, it doesn't want it, but you've got some indication in your blood that you do need it, it just may mean that that's not the right type for you.
I see. Okay.
Okay. Lynn, can you get on?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm trying to find what I told
Yeah, so I'm trying to, you know, piece things together here. Generally, when I do a lab analysis for somebody, I have their complete history. I've spoken to them. I know exactly what they're eating. I have other things to go on, and it's really, I'm just trying to piece this together so and see if there's anything in particular I can recommend, but I'm not going to really be able to get to what the root cause is. What was it, Lynn?
This is Pearl. It says Go Nutrients, vitamin B12.
Go Nutrients? I never heard of it. Turn it around and see what kind of vitamin. Does it say it's cyanocobalamin, hydroxycobalamin, methylcobalamin?
Methylcobalamin.
So what's possible is that your body doesn't handle the methyl at this point. I mean, and I'd have to look at your genetics to see. There's particular genetic markers that say you shouldn't take too much of the methyl. If you want to get a different kind, I would look at hydroxycobalamin. You can probably get a liquid one from Seeking Health, or you could get a sublingual under the tongue. The other way you could do it is to try to do a patch and see. And you might go to the store and see if you can body test while you're at the store on the different types there. It may not be the best quality, but at least you'd tell if like all of the vitamin B12 doesn't work for you, then it may not be appropriate at this point in time.
Okay.
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 Lynn, I've never heard of that brand.
Yeah, I'm not seeing. Do you know
maybe
when I told you this?
I'm sorry, Lynn. Maybe I ordered the wrong one. Opposite
no.
of what you said.
I'm just trying to find which email.
Yeah, so I'm just going to bottom line, what I'm seeing in here is that you're not getting enough protein in, whether you're not taking enough in or whether you're not absorbing it properly. So that's that. That's one thing. The other thing, I don't think you're digesting fat very well because your cholesterol is super low. So I'd make sure that you are getting enough of your nuts and seeds, but it may be just that you're just not absorbing them well enough. May need more of the digestive enzyme. I don't know what brand it is. I've found some good results with transformation enzymes. They tend to be super potent. But you could try doubling or tripling that. And then I would retest this in a few months and just see where it's at. And when you do, I would get the total T4 and the free T3 as well to see what's going on with that. But the good news is total T4 and free T3.
And free T3, okay.
Right. And the good, did you have a cold or a flu or anything right before you had this done? It doesn't say the date, so I have no idea what the date is.
No, I just had it done.
You just had
like
it done?
Like the 8th or something.
Okay. Yeah, 8th of December. I'm going to write that date in because it's kind of important. But I can't seem to do that. Anyway, yeah, so I would be looking at absorption, increasing your digestive enzyme, really taking that seriously about being really calm and chewing really well and not eating under stress. Your D is good. It's mainly I think it's a digestive thing. I really think it's a digestive thing, and you're having trouble with absorbing all your nutrients.
Well, now, I don't have a gallbladder.
So I, Pearl had done the personalized coaching with Cassandra, right? And
yes.
With the sweet spot.
Yeah.
And so she had done a lab. Cassandra had put it into the blood chem software report. And this has to be from July. And her free T4 was 0.9.
Mm-hmm. What about T3?
She didn't have T3. Yeah. And, but her, yeah.
What was her
the other good, her vitamin D was 58.7. So.
Great. So you've brought that up.
Went,
yeah, definitely. Yeah. What about her cholesterol? Do you see that? Cholesterol and triglycerides?
I'm looking.
No, I don't think they did cholesterol that time, did they?
I don't see cholesterol, no.
Okay.
For
B12. Well, you're in sweet spot because of your blood sugar. You're certainly maintaining a good fasting blood sugar now, so the congratulations on that. So I think it's really...
Her B12 was 1098, and her folate was 19.3. So her B12 was above the
average. What about, yeah, that doesn't mean anything. What about MCV?
MCV is there it is, 96.7. So that was above the app.
Six, and it's now, let me see what it is now. Yeah, it's 98, so it's right around the same amount. Yeah. So I think the next step for you is to work on your digestion, quite frankly.
Well, and she got the grand program
as the next, right, because that's the bonus of the extra program. So have you started working on that, Pearl?
The grand program?
Yeah.
No, I wasn't aware that I could have that.
Well, you do have it.
You did get it. I see that you chose.
Well, let's make sure she has access. and maybe send her an email with the link so that she – you'd log into your site the same way you would for Sweet Spot. Your password is the same exact one, and then off to the right side, you'll see it listed Grand or Digestion.
Okay.
And I would go through that, and I'd go through it step by step just to see, because it helps you to figure out what's going on in each part of your digestive tract.
Okay.
Okay? And if you need help and support and you want to get a personal coach with that, just reach out and let Lynn know, and she'll help you get that set up.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Bye now.
Bye.
All right. Let's see. Here we are. I'm going to go back here, and I'll close the line. Anybody else have questions? I see Mary still has her hand up, so I can go back. Mary has some more questions. I'll check on the Q&A. Yeah, Annette. Okay. Annette was, she's the one I was mentioning about her and her daughter. She has the Dexcom, not the Libre. So the Dexcom, I think, is a more professional model versus the, I don't know what the difference really is, but I know the Dexcom is the original. Great. Okay, let's see. ICCC, Mary. Okay, I don't see any other questions, so I'll come back to Mary. Hi, Mary.
Actually, it looks like CC had a question. She, I think she's trying. She wasn't sure how to raise her hand.
What?
In the chat, she said I. So I'm thinking that means CC has a question.
Okay,
she just
but
wasn't
I don't
sure how to raise.
If she's anonymous, there's an anonymous. Cece, the way you raise your hand is if you go to *2 on your telephone keypad. *2. Oh, there she is. Now she just came in. Okay, I'll raise your hand for you, and I'll do you next. All right, we'll go to you now.
Okay,
all right.
Great. Cece. Thank you. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. So, let's see. If you're having enough, how do you know when the omega-3s, how do you know you've had enough? I do make hemp milk and I do make the chia pudding.
Yeah, but the only way to really know is to test. I mean, you can see, like, some people, when they have insufficient, they'll have joint pains or they'll have dry skin or rashes or other kinds of symptoms of it.
Yeah.
So you can see if the symptoms are going down. In terms of knowing, are you consuming enough, there's a spreadsheet that I've given you a link to that you can put your numbers in, and it'll tell you whether you've got the right ratio. But as far as knowing whether you have enough, there's a test. It's called the blood spot fatty acid test. It runs about $120, $150, and it will measure in your blood. You don't have to go to the lab. You just put it, just like you do your finger prick for a blood sugar, you just do that. It gives you a card. You send it off to the lab, and they send you the results. So that's something if you want to have done, we can help you get that set up. And then on one of our calls, on our ERC calls, we can go over it with you.
Okay, so I'll think about that one. Okay. Otherwise, you can also get it from the algae.
Yep, you can get it. Definitely is in algae. The blue-green algae tends to be the best source. They sell algae oil capsules, if you wanted to do it that way. But if you wanted to get it from the food, it's the blue-green algae.
And that would be a powder, right?
You can get that as a powder. You can get it as capsules. I know you,
so,
like, you don't like
capsules. And what company do you like?
I use Health Force Nutritionals.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll think about that. From the last phone call, it looks like I need magnesium glycinate because of my bromine toxicity. So my question is, I don't do well with pills, so isn't there a cream?
There's a
a liquid magnesium. It's more of a, it's magnesium chloride, I believe, or sulfate. And then there's also a powder, the magnesium glycinate. The one I had recommended to you was from Designs for Health, and they have a powder.
Designs
for Health. For Health, yeah.
They have a powder.
Yep.
And how would I, can I just put that in my smoothie?
Yep, yeah, absolutely. You
okay.
Put it in whatever you want. You drink it in water. You can, yep.
And let's see, how much do I take of that?
I would start with maybe 300 milligrams.
Okay, and referring to the iodine load test, you had suggested that after a certain amount of time, after I start taking the iodine, I have questions about that too, that I should go back and take the Hakala load test again.
Yeah, about 3 or 4 months it would be the time.
So that, is there a less expensive way to do it?
Not that I know of.
So the test my doctor takes is not good enough.
It's just going to give you the amount that's in your blood. It's not doing the challenge. The reason that I like the Hakala is it does the challenge. And you could do less of it. Like last time, I think you'd done the bromide, the chloride, and the fluoride. And the fluoride
right.
and the chloride were fine. So you could do just the iodine and the bromide. And you can do, you probably save money. I'd want you to get the iodine before and then the iodine after, so the spot iodine and the 24-hour, and then on the bromide you could just get the 24-hour. And that would save you a little bit of money.
So the, I'm sorry, the iodine is spot and?
Spot and 24-hour.
Okay.
And then the bromide would just be the 24-hour. And that should give us
okay.
enough information since we had the original.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and that'll
so,
save you $50.
Yes,
well.
I thank you,
yeah.
thank you.
Sure.
So I once, I don't know, about 2 years ago, I was taking iodine drops and doing it very gradually, and something didn't feel right, so I got it tested, and I was like way overdosing. So I seem to be sensitive in that way. So you had suggested that I increase to 50 milligrams. Would you still suggest that to a person who easily overdoses?
Yeah, I had said go very, very slowly. So go very,
yeah.
very slowly. And what you can do is you can do some of it, you can do some sea vegetable and then cut back on the amount that you actually have to take. So you can just go slowly with the sea vegetable, like kelp. And kelp is the best source, but kelp, dulse, arame, wakame.
So I know that kelp is pretty, I looked at your website and it's one of the best as far as how much iodine it has in it. Can I dry it and then break it down into a powder and take it that way?
You can buy it as a powder.
I thought if I did it, it would be fresher or something.
You could. You would just get the big pieces and then grind them down. You wouldn't have to soak them first. You can't get fresh kelp. I mean, there's no way. Unless you go dive in the ocean and capture it yourself. I don't know of any other way with that, and I don't think you're about to do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know that, but I have a really good guy in Maine, and I really trust him.
Oh, so that you can get it fresh.
Well, when it comes to me, it comes dried.
Yeah, so if it comes dried in strips, then all
yeah.
you have to do is put those strips into your food, into your Vitamix. Yeah, you can do it that way.
Ah.
Absolutely. So you just take the
okay.
strips, break them so that they're like, you know, an inch or two long, and then put them all in there. Put the lid on, turn it on, make sure that it's bone dry when you put it in there. Don't put it in with any moisture. And then once it stops blending and turn it off, just wait about 10 or 20 seconds because what happens is it just creates this powder, and it's flying all over the place. So just let it settle and then take the lid off because if you take the lid off, you're going to get hit in the face with this cloud of kelp
the
powder.
Yeah. Do you think
yeah.
it would be better to use the Vitamix seed grinder pitcher?
Yeah, if you have the dry container, sure.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I have the dry.
Yeah.
But that would be
oh,
probably
yeah,
better.
Oh, yeah, that would be better. Yeah, that would be
oh,
better.
Oh, okay. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And so I think you had said, was it a half a teaspoon?
Yeah, you could do like a
1 to 2 ounces per week.
Yeah, 1 to 2 ounces per week. But you can look it up, if you look up the amount that's in it, if we're trying to get you to get 50 milligrams, let's just calculate it to make sure, okay? Kelp?
Yeah.
Iodine. And we'll see if we can get it as powder. Okay, here, whole baked, iodine count in different seaweed. I know I have this on my site somewhere, but I'm not sure where, so I'm just looking it up. Here we go. Laminaria digitata, there it is, from Maine. Here we go. 1,900 micrograms, so that's 1.9 milligrams per gram of laminaria. Seems like a low amount. Oh, here's
is kelp the same thing as digitata?
Yeah, digitata. Laminaria digitata is your best form of kelp. There's others, but that's...
Yeah, I have that. I have that in a jar.
You have that in a jar. Yeah, so it looks like if you look at the granules, a gram of the granules will have about 8 milligrams of iodine. But I'm not sure how much a gram is, so... because we tend to measure everything by spoons. So I think what you'd have to do is get a little kitchen scale and get measure out the kelp and see how much is in each, how many grams is in each teaspoon.
You had said a quarter of a teaspoon to a half a teaspoon.
I don't remember the exact amounts, though, in there. I don't know that you're going to get to 50
It's kind of complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling like it's too complicated.
Yeah, so you could just do, you could just gradually move up the iodine in the terms of the drops and supplant it with the kelp. So maybe do a half teaspoon, quarter teaspoon to a half teaspoon a day of the kelp, and maybe only have to do 12 or 20. But I don't know exactly because I don't have those numbers. I have to calculate it. I have this here and I have kelp. I could go in my kitchen and measure it out and see how much is in a teaspoon. Because everything's a little different.
Okay, should I remind you to do that, or should I tell Lynn?
You could tell Lynn to remind me to do
Tell Lynn everything, and she'll
remind me did you go measure the kelp yet? Because I'll get it after we get off the call, because I'll be in my kitchen going. But now you got me curious, so I'll have to look at the back. And I think that Maine Coast Sea Vegetables is where, I don't know if that's who it is, or do you get it from Lance?
Yes, Lart.
Yeah, he's so sweet. I ordered stuff from him, and he sends me his newsletter with the pictures of him and his sons on the boats, and
Yes, he's very special. Okay, great. Thank you for that.
I'm looking to see if I can get the picture of the Maine Coast kelp. Here we go. It looks like, oh, man, I can't read it. It's tiny. It looks like a cup of it is 7 grams. The bag has 8. Wait, a serving size is some kind of something. It's messed up. So a bag of this stuff has 56 grams, and this is the strips. Okay, so the bag of this has 56 grams, and, you could probably do pretty well with it. I don't know, do you want to eat a whole bag of it?
I don't think so.
All right, let me calculate it, and because it's a good number for me to know, like, how much has, you know, how much iodine is there in a teaspoon. Yeah, I don't think you want to eat a whole bag. That would be pretty gross. You could do that with Dulse. Dulse is a lot easier to eat, but
yes, it is,
not with the kelp.
I like that. Yeah, I like that, too.
Okay.
All righty. So do I need to get back to you on that? Do I need to follow up?
Yeah, you know, maybe what I'll do is I'll put it in our weekly newsletter because I think a lot of people might know it. But, I'm not promising because this week is a horrendous week, so
I may not get it done.
But once next week comes and I have a lighter schedule, I'll do that, and I'll just
Figure
it out. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay?
And, I'm taking vitamin D3/K2.
Okay.
And I think you suggested I take 10,000 units. Is that possible?
Mm-hmm. Of the D, yep.
Yeah, but the thing is it comes with the K2, and I was talking to Shonda today, and she was concerned that that would be overdosing the K2.
Right, exactly, which is why I don't recommend that you get all of your D that way. I think I had mentioned this to you, was like you can get part of your D from the K, like take one serving, one.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do.
Of the D, and the, that DK2, so that would be probably 5,000, and that would give you the right amount of K, and then you can take separately just some D extra on top of that to make the 10,000.
So that's what we're trying to figure out, how much K2 is okay.
I think it's going to vary, but you're so sensitive that I would be hesitant to go above what the recommendation would be.
Oh, on the bottle. So that's just
yeah.
two drops. Okay, and then,
drops, yeah.
then I'll just get the – and which vitamin D should I order? Which
well,
company?
There's a couple of good ones. The Premier Research is good in that it's the base is olive oil, not soybean oil, so I like that a lot better than the ones that are soybean oil. I believe that Biotics has one too, but I don't remember if theirs is soybean oil or the other. Personally, I've taken the Premier Research D3.
Okay, that's fine with me.
Okay.
And one more question: what do you think about calcium phosphoricum cell salts to boost bone density?
You know, it's kind of like homeopathic, and I
yes.
think that people like you who are so sensitive
yes.
do really,
yes.
really well with homeopathic doses of things. Because basically
yes.
what the homeopathy does is it will stimulate your body to do what it's supposed to do.
Right.
Versus you just, you know, strong-arming it into doing what it needs to do.
And who could I work with to figure that out? I mean, how much I need and things like that.
There's a person who's in our NEPT program who's a homeopath. I could hook you up with her, and maybe she can help you.
Okay. That sounds
great. I don't know
great.
If she's on the line. Lynn, are you on the line? Let me see. She's another Lynn. She's another
Lynn. Oh, a different Lynn.
Very
okay.
Brilliant, full of information Lynn. Let's see if Lynn's on the line. I'm going to open her line and see how would one – it may be more complicated and she may need you to set up a consultation. But
yeah,
Lynn,
that'd be fine.
That'd be fine. Hey, Lynn.
Yeah.
Lynn, meet
well, how do I talk on here? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
You okay?
Sure, yeah, because I don't see anything but the chat.
Oh. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, you wouldn't see the back end except because it's different. It's just, you know,
okay.
I see the back end. So, yeah. So, any words of wisdom, or do you think it would be good for her to
What was the question? I know she was mentioning about cell salts, but.
Yeah, she was asking about cell salts to help improve bone density. CC tends to be very sensitive to supplementation. Mm-hmm. She has to go really slow, really small amounts. And I know that people mm-hmm. that are very sensitive like that tend to respond pretty well to mm-hmm. homeopathic stuff.
Right. Well, I would never use a calcium supplement anyway, but the cell salts, I haven't found anybody that has a problem with a cell salt. I use one called Bioplasma, which has all 12 of them, and that's kind of a general mineral coverage. But you can do any of them, and nothing is going to throw her off balance. It's not like taking a crude substance where one will offset another.
Right.
The body's just going to use what it needs. So
awesome.
That would... He would certainly be able to do that. But like I said, I like to use the combination one called Bioplasma, and you can pick that up anywhere.
Okay.
And it has
uh-huh.
all the cell salts in it.
And then she would just take whatever the dose they recommend on the label?
You know what I do? My body knows what I need, so I just dump what I need in the cap, and whatever I need comes out.
That's great.
I usually tell people 3 or 4 pellets.
Okay.
It's a bottle with 1,000 pellets in it, so it lasts a long time and it's cheap. And they're the does she have a lactose problem? Because it's one of the ones that's in lactose.
I don't know. We've determined that she should be off of dairy, you know, because of Hashimoto's. So I don't know if the lactose would
make a big difference. But you know, if you say she's real sensitive, so
do you tend to be real? She does have loose stools, so I don't know if it would. I'm probably TMI here.
Yeah, I don't think. I don't think it's going to be a problem. I really don't. I haven't. I've never had anybody that had a problem with the cell salts.
Okay.
They're so benign, low potency. Okay. So they don't last long as far as, you know, if you had an effect, it would be short term.
Uh-huh. I know you have to take it.
Yeah. So you take it once or twice a day or just once a day?
Well, I just do it once a day just because I do it for maintenance. But you could do it as frequently as you needed to. I mean,
so if you're having trouble with osteoporosis or osteopenia,
right,
you want to do like a loading dose for a month of doing it two or three times a day?
It wouldn't hurt. Okay. You know, I don't always trust tests either because I had a bone density scan done years and years ago, and they told me to take calcium supplements, which I did not. And I had a repeat scan, and he said, oh, good work.
Good job. All you were doing was yourself.
I don't always trust the scans very well.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah. Try it. You know, take one pellet and see how it feels. That's kind of the way I go with anything. But they're pretty benign in that way.
Yes. Yes. Okay, great.
Sure.
All right.
Great.
Thank you so much, Lynn.
Thank you. Thank you, Lynn.
And thank you, Dr. Rita Marie.
You're very welcome. My pleasure. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, Cece, I'll put her hand down and see if I can do this. And I have Mary and then George Lowe. I'm not sure who George is, whether George is really George, because a lot of times it doesn't show up as who it is. So we'll go to Mary and then George. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Okay, thanks for coming back to me.
Sure.
It's nice to hear other people because sometimes it sparks my own questions and what I want to ask as well. Sometimes I don't remember all the time. So you mentioned something about protein powder. Given my situation, protein powder, a good thing or nothing?
Yeah.
Because I'm using the Sun Warriors classic protein powder, the vanilla. It just gives my green smoothie a better taste.
Yeah, and it's clean, right? It's just the hemp and cranberry. I don't see why it would.
No, I'm concerned about that whole rice business now that I think about it.
I wouldn't do the rice.
Oh, shoot.
The one with the rice. I'd be concerned. You don't want to put any kind of toxins in your body. And
it's better tasting.
It's one of the ones that has been tested to show that there is no arsenic in it. You might look at Natural Health News or that guy, what's his name? You know what
That's
I mean?
His name.
Yeah. He did the testing. So see, if it does have traces of arsenic, you don't want to do it, right? You want to be as clean and pure as you possibly can.
Right. That's just a much better taste than the other one that they have, the Warrior Blend. And
have you ever tried Sacha Inchi protein? Just
which one?
Plain Sacha Inchi.
Sacha? I never even heard of
Sacha
it. Sacha Inchi.
Yes. I used to get it at Raw Food World. I had had it because I bought a bunch of it, so I've had it for a while. It's real inexpensive. It was like $12 a pound or $15 a pound or something like that. It was really a good deal.
Sacha, and how do you spell it?
S-A-C-H-A. Sacha Inchi, I-N-C-H-I. Sacha Inchi. It's just pure.
And you said you got it at
Raw Food World. But somebody said they didn't find it there the last time they looked, so I don't know if they still have it. But
well, they went split, so I don't know what they did with that.
Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So what's the Sacha Inchi made of?
Sacha Inchi seeds. It is. It's the protein from Sacha Inchi seeds.
I haven't even heard of
seeds from South America, and they are very high in protein and very high in omega-3.
Oh, nice.
And there may be traces of the omega-3 still in there. I mean, you know, it's mostly going to be protein, obviously. But let's see. Sacha Inchi protein powder. They have it on Amazon. Superfood. Oh. Let's see. Organic Sacha Inchi powder. Vegan, gluten-free, non-GMO. 8.5 ounces, $13. That's one brand. Then there's Imlakishi Sacha Inchi. Comes in a glass jar. How nice. And then Raw Food World has it, and theirs is $13.95 a pound on Prime.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you're in Canada, so who knows? But, yeah, there's a bunch of them.
Can somebody put it up on the thing, the link that you're at? Can you put that on the...
I can put this in the chat. I just did a search. There's also Pegan protein powder from... Pegan protein powder from Julian Bakery, and it's unflavored organic Sacha Inchi, 2.5 pounds for $39. There's a lot of them here. I'm going to put this in the link. It's one of those long, long links because it was a search field in here, but it'll get you there. And let me put it in the chat.
Now, I hope they come in like a vanilla flavor. I just find that it really helps with, because I can have like, I finally found
vanilla in it. You can always put vanilla in it. Oh, you can put vanilla bean extract. You can put, you know, vanilla stevia in it if you want.
The vanilla stevia,
They such an interesting thing.
Because I've had a hard time doing green smoothies without fruit for a long time. So I finally got a recipe where I put a avocado and it's creamier, and then I've been putting the protein powder in, and you know what, and I put in like a dab of peppermint essential oil, and I've just been enjoying it so much that I'm like oh, but now I gotta take away this protein powder. I think it's really what's making it taste good, right? So I'll try it with the Warrior Bun, the other one with the other mix, but that one is just a little bit, the taste is just funny. I find it's not as good.
The Warrior Bun.
I know, you know, it's interesting. Some people will say, oh, they love the Warrior Blend, and then, and I, but yeah, I've just been so partial to that one. I don't know why, but yeah, okay. So that's, but I'm going
to. The Sacha Inchi from, let's see, let me see if I can get this to be a shorter survey. The Sacha Inchi from Julian Organics is, got 24 grams of protein per serving.
Wow.
Copy. Let's see if I can put this in. I'll put this in the chat. And then I'll put another one in, which was the Raw Food World. There's a bunch of them, but that big long link will give you that. But just in case it doesn't work in Canada, because sometimes they switch it, you'll at least see
Actually, there's one with Sun Food as well that has a Sacha Inchi. And I know someone here who actually brings in Sun Food products.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, because, and he's really good, and sometimes he's like, okay, if you need anything, just let me know, and he kind of added into his order if he doesn't have it on his website.
Oh, so, look, yeah, see what he can get. I'll send you one for Raw Food World, too.
Oops. Yes, that would be great. Okay, that's good. Okay, so I got that. I'm going to have to ask you again that soup that you had that is equivalent to the bone broth that you had on your website. You gave it to us at one point, and I don't remember. I thought I bookmarked it, and I didn't.
It should be on my blog. I just called it vegan bone broth.
Did you call it that? Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so is this mean – so I guess my other question is, you know, given what Brian said, does this mean, like, mineral broth is out of the question?
Mineral broth, which would be just vegetable broth. Why?
Right.
See, that's the thing where I don't know. You know, I don't know his reasoning. And, you know, I'm just going to say that I'm going to defer to his experience with working with people with cancer. And, you know, I've not done that, but I have done that. But, you know, I think that the raw versus cooked thing is, you're looking at the why, right? Why? You're trying to get higher nutrient density.
Yeah.
But when you do a broth, you're basically extracting a lot of the nutrients out without the heavy baggage of eating the food, you know. So you're I personally wouldn't think it would be problematic, but I, you know, I'm not going to – I haven't had the experience he has.
When you're doing the bone broth, this is my thought with it, too, because I was making a veggie broth, and I wasn't putting the carrots in, right? I was just putting everything else.
Yeah.
But when you're boiling it all, are you just not just destroying everything from it anyways?
Yeah,
you'd be destroying
the water solubles, the water soluble minerals. I mean, vitamins. You're not destroying minerals because they can't get destroyed. They get extracted from the food into the water. That's why when you steam vegetables, you should always use the water, because the water, unless you have an oxalate problem, but the water has most of the minerals in it, or a lot of the minerals in it. Proteins don't get, they say that proteins do get denatured and changed around a little bit by heating. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what would I do if I was in your situation? I'd probably be as pure and clean as I could, and I probably would stick to it, to the raw.
Right. Just because it's winter coming around the corner, and I guess, you know, I've been having...
Well, you can heat things. You don't have to... just because you're taking things raw, it doesn't mean you can't heat them. So you have the little thermometer you stick in, and as soon as it hits 110, it starts to beep at you. You stir it around. If it's still at 110, then you drink it, and it's nice and warm.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so,
then you maintain the
the nutrients. So I get it. I mean, it's for here, for me here, it's been in the 50s and 60s, and I'm shivering and drinking hot soup.
Oh, God. We just got our first snowstorm.
Well, we had our first snowstorm last year. It was last week. It was the first time we had snow here in about 3 years.
In Texas?
Yeah, it was 82 degrees on Monday, and it snowed and stuck to the ground on Thursday. It's crazy.
Wow.
Crazy. Yeah, that's what I said.
That's crazy. So the first time I found your bone broth, but I haven't found it now. So
it's not bone broth. We could call it bone broth. How's that?
No, I didn't. Sorry, I didn't Google. I Googled, you said vegan broth. Sorry, I Googled vegan broth, and it didn't come up. So I don't know which one it was anymore. But anyways, and I think Lynn found it the last time for us. I can't remember and put it in the chat. And then I think I have just one more question. Okay, remember you had recommended the fasting clinic, Dr. Michael Hogan? Was that right?
No, it was, what's the name of it? It's and it's Dr. Clapper and Dr.
Clapper, right.
Alan Goldhammer.
Right. And you had said that, that would be one step that you would do if that was your situation, whatever. What order would you do it then? Would you go there first, do the fast, and then do, say, Lordy, and then, or Brian or Hippocrates? Like, what order would you do first?
Woo, that's a good question. You know, I would be assessing, like, how advanced is this thing, and do I need to be, like, really working on the killing part as well as the...
First.
Yeah, so, I mean, I know what I really like about Lodi is he does all the IV vitamin C and the IV selenium and things that are going to support you. He does juicing with it.
Mm-hmm.
Would I do that first or would I do a fast first? Whew. My guess is I would do something like the IVs and all that and then do the fasting.
Because
I would fortify my body up.
Oh,
so that I had more reserves to be able to fast
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Right. I think in the perfect world it would be, pump up your body as much as you can, go fast, and then go back and pump up your body as much as you can at that place. You know what I mean?
Ideally, yeah. But then you can always
right?
get, yes, exactly. But there's a very therapeutic effect of the stuff that he does, right, with the ozone and the IVC and the IV selenium and the alternating it and, and he basically tailors the process based on what you need and where you're at. So,
well, I mean, a lot of the stuff like I'm looking through his protocol. I have to look at it again. And, like, things like the vitamin C, alpha folic acid, some various other things, that's pretty generic now. Like, even I've been doing that since April, to be quite honest. Like,
going
back and forth from alpha lipoic and doing bite seeds. Not like I've sat and done nothing. I've been, pumping my veins. I can't believe.
Okay, so you've been doing the IVs. So that's a different
I've been
part.
Doing
it.
Yeah,
yeah,
we have it here.
Yeah,
yeah, I started that immediately.
Okay,
even before I found anything out, as soon as I found out, abnormal cell, I just went, okay, let's get started. I went in and I said, let's just do vitamin C just in case, So I've been doing that. That started in April, so I've been continuing on with that. Some other things is mistletoe, which is something that we're planning on doing as well, and possibly hyperthermia.
Mm.
So, yeah. Now, the only thing that's different, and I'm not sure whether my naturopath does it, but I want to need to go back. And Dr. Lordy was supposed to send me some information on, he does, I think, curcumin IV as well, which is something different that I didn't know about. Yeah. Now, the deal is, okay, yeah, maybe I can do some of these things here, but I need to kind of get away from my stress, period.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
That's the thing. And, and get, go somewhere where, I'm getting pumped up with good nutrition as well, where I don't have to initially be stressed and having to do it with myself, where at least it's being done for me, so to speak, and I can just consume it freely.
Yeah.
Like those places. Anyways, just to kind
of...
You know,
you're just going to sit with all these ideas. You're going to research, you're going to read, you're going to talk to people, and then it's just going to come to you what the best
sources. So I could say what I might do, but I'm not in that situation right now. So you never know what you're going to do until I'm in that situation where I'm confronted with that situation.
Yeah.
I would also ask you, if this was April that you started doing all this, have you gone back to retest to see if any changes?
Yeah. Yes, you know, it's funny you said that because the other reason why I'm on a medical leave is because I got to go searching for a gyno who is open to alternatives and can monitor me. So this is kind of one of my thing, my tickets on my, because, you know, the one that did my polyp, I'm not going back to her. She's way too condescending, you know. And then my doctor bounced me off on somebody else that I'm like, okay, like, so I've been annoyed and I've had to kind of advocate for myself because CT scans were, you know, taking too long and all this other stuff. So, you know, sometimes it's kind of tricky with that. So, yeah, you're right. And so that would be a good idea to kind of do and test just to kind of see. I agree with you. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, I know it's, you know, you don't even know. The only thing that I don't like that I've kind of been, as I've been, you know, phoning around and getting some information because I phoned another place in Mexico. And so Dr. Lordy is still doing insulin potential chemotherapy. And so some of the other places that I've spoken to, and I'm going to go back to him about it as well, and I know their theory and why they do it, I get it, but there's been, so three people that I've spoken to have said that there's really not much of it. They've noticed there wasn't much of a difference from doing low-dose chemotherapy than, like, the results are not any different if you just do low-dose chemotherapy as opposed to insulin potential chemotherapy. So they're switching to low-dose because they're like, okay, well, why pump the body with this insulin stuff when not necessary, when the changes are not even that, like, drastic? You know what I mean?
No, I've already talked to him about that because I know he does PET scans, and you can see that when you put the insulin in, the theory makes sense. You put the insulin in, you only need to take 10%, do 10%.
Right.
And it goes right to where you want it to go because the cancer cells have more insulin receptors. So I find it hard to believe that. I mean, I would really take the research, really look at the research yourself because, you know, it just may be that somebody doesn't want to do it because it's extra work and it's extra, you know, because the idea with giving the insulin is that you don't end up with it hitting and hurting the good cells in your body.
The good stuff.
Oops. You there? Oops. I think we lost her. Okay, she'll come back. All right, next. All right. George Lowe. Who's George Lowe from Washington, Maryland?
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie. It's Suzanne Pell from Asheville, North Carolina.
That's an old buddy. Suzanne, hello.
Hi. But George is my husband, and we did live in D.C.
Oh, okay, so that's it. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, that must have been where we got the phone initially 20 odd years ago. I know, he always comes up.
So much for the phone company keeping up with caller IDs being accurate. Boy, that's crazy.
I know, isn't that weird? I know, and you're always stunned because you don't have that many men on your call, so you're always thinking, who's George?
Who's George? I wonder, well, who's got a husband named George? Okay.
I do. I have two questions, although listening to all these other callers, they actually gave me just a few things I wanted to comment on if time at the end. But my main question is I had surgery 3 months ago on reattached my rotator and my bicep.
Oh.
And bone spurs and cleaning everything out. And I lost 40% of range of motion before surgery, so it is a very difficult rehab, which is driving me insane because I do a lot of sports, which I can't do.
Mm.
So I see the PT 3 times a week. I do it the other 4 days at my home gym or at the Y. I see an acupuncturist. I get laser. I get massages. So now I'm thinking about a chiropractor. And I thought one time there was a call where you did say there were modalities a chiropractor could use for the shoulder issue.
Well, the things that I would tend to use are things that anybody, you know, physical therapist or an osteopath could use as well. I think ultrasound works really well. But I would think that your physical therapist could do that, and you could also buy a home machine and do it yourself, by the way, and they're not that expensive to get. Then the other thing would be there's a specific cross-fiber technique that you do on the tendons, but I would think that a massage therapist would do that for sure, or a physical therapist. There are certain chiropractic techniques, the Graston technique, which uses almost like a spoon to get in and break up scar tissue and keep things moving and help you get your range of motion back. You know, without knowing, I mean, you just had surgery to reattach it, so you can't do as aggressive a thing on it as you may want to do a little bit further out from surgery, but you want to make sure that the scar tissue doesn't form and you don't get a frozen shoulder, which you may already have.
Right. The therapist says it's not a frozen shoulder. It's sort of just before you get to a frozen shoulder.
Yeah. So, you know, the thing that I would, if I were you and I had that situation, I would get an ultrasound machine. And I would be doing it on my shoulder myself or have my husband do it on me twice a day. Because you can't go to the office twice a day. What's that?
Yeah. Do you have any recommendations for a brand?
You know, every time I look, there's different brands that are on special, and you just look up home ultrasound machine because it's just like a stock thing, and it hasn't been any one brand in particular, but if I were to look now, I've looked on Amazon. Sometimes I see them on Amazon. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes it's like a special closeout at one of the physical therapy type companies, and they're usually like $150. Mm-hmm. So it's really worth it.
Mhm. Okay. And do you have any thoughts? Oh yeah, that'd be good.
Oh, I've seen them here. LG Med Supply. Let's see, because I've recommended that to somebody. 3 times stronger, new and improved. Oh, as seen on Dr. Oz. That means they've just raised the price, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, let's see. But I have ordered that. I have had people order this one. Now 3 times stronger LG Pro. Now. $209, 20% off, $167. Oh, yeah. I'll send you this. I'll put this link in the chat.
Okay.
Okay. Let me put it in the chat right now. But I've seen phenomenal results. It's LGS Medical. I just put it in the chat.
Okay. Yeah, I was just on my phone, but I can go down. I'll go downstairs and get on the computer.
Okay.
Any thoughts on cryotherapy?
Well, I usually alternate cryo. You mean like icing, dipping it into cold ice water? Is that what you're talking about, cryotherapy?
Well, you know how Asheville is. There's a place that it's sort of something you step into and only your head is exposed. And then they reduce the temperature, so your whole body temperature is reduced.
I'm just getting shivers just thinking about it.
And you go in it for 3 minutes. And we just had a snow a few days ago, which is a little unusual. And just walking, you know, like 15 seconds to the car, I was shivering. And I thought, I don't know, 3 minutes and you're literally.
I don't know that I would do that for a localized thing. I know there's situations where that might be something you can do. But I would think, you know, I would prefer on something that's chronic and it's stiff, like bordering on frozen shoulder, I would be more inclined to want to do heat and cold combination alternating.
Okay.
Cryotherapy doesn't sound real appealing to me. And usually when the cryotherapy for anything, it would be alternating between hopping in a cold and hopping in the sauna.
And it's funny you say sauna because that's my next question. My husband says, oh, I've seen this sauna. It's on sale. And I says, oh, no, no, no. I said, just don't go buy a sauna. I said, I have to check. I don't know if you do infrared, far infrared, like my Megan bed is far infrared. And then there's the EMF. I said, I must ask you on this phone call what you think the sauna is.
And somebody, you know, there are Sunlighten is one that I've heard is really good, Sunlighten. And you want to be careful about what wood they use if you're getting one of the wood ones. Yeah, like is it been wood that's been treated? Because then, you know, in the heat, you're going to have outgassing of the organic, you know, the inorganic components that they use to treat it. So Sunlighten is one that I've heard of. There are others, but I've heard really good things from colleagues and people, patients and all, that have bought that one. A far infrared versus not, you know, the people that sell far infrared swear that's better. The people that sell the just plain infrared claim that's better. You got to do the research. And I'm not up on it. I haven't done the research recently because I bought a far infrared, not even the one, like, it's just kind of a little mini one. And so I'm just happy with using it the way it is.
Yeah, I know Brian Clement at Hippocrates, where I've been, he uses far infrared every day, but I always miss which, you know, manufacturer he likes. I could call and find out.
Call there and find
out. I know
out.
He's big.
Sure.
Yeah, he's big on that. So that was that. And then it was interesting, my Dr. Fletcher, he recommends I take 50 milligrams of iodine a day because I did the Hacula lab test and everything. What, he just has me order my iodine from Hacula, but I didn't know what you thought to iodine. Oh. I mean, what
See, I didn't know they sold it. Yeah. I usually go for, I like the liquid, so I go for Lugol's because that way people can, you know, they can just titrate it up to the level that they want it to be. They can titrate it down again. So I just usually use Lugol's. I don't know if Hakala is selling, like, the Iodorol. Is it a capsule or a tablet?
It's a tablet.
Yeah, my only concern, my biggest concern with tablets is that there's tableting agents in there to hold them together. And I like the liquid because it's just the liquid iodine.
Yeah, I always use Lugol's prior, and then I get other things from Hacula, and I asked Dr. Fletcher, so I said, they have things in there, in those tablets, that I'm not so sure about, and he just assured me that they've done their testing, et cetera, and it's not that big of a deal, but I really don't like myself to use tablets.
Yeah, I don't see that they're as well absorbed and whatnot, so I like to get the purest possible that you can get, and people who claim that, oh, yeah, it's not a problem, usually have either they're a little bit more careless than I might be, or they have a financial stake in you buying it.
Right, exactly. You mentioned a newsletter. Is that something that's just on the site or it comes to us? I'm not sure.
We haven't sent a newsletter in a little while because we've been so busy, but I was mentioning it to someone who's in our ERC program. And we do a weekly newsletter for the ERC program, and we do a weekly newsletter for our NEPT practitioner training program. As far as our regular newsletter, we're going to start it up again in January.
Okay.
And it'll come by email.
I wonder why Lynn said that she would never take calcium. I mean, do you recommend taking calcium?
Well, you know, calcium can deposit in there's a lot of negative press. There's a whole book Thomas Levy wrote on calcium and the dangers of calcium. So it's, you know, and first of all, bone isn't made of calcium. Bone is made of calcium plus 20 other nutrients. And so we mm-hmm. throw our bodies out of balance when we take a lot of the, oh, yeah, osteoporosis, take calcium. Well, it's a lot more than just calcium. There is an imbalance in the metabolism, magnesium and boron and all this other stuff. And really it's stimulating your own body. And I've got to look into the salts. I haven't looked into that, but the homeopathic versions of things will stimulate your body to do what it's supposed to do as opposed to, you know, giving you a whole bunch of stuff.
I wasn't taking calcium. I was just doing the strontium and boron and things like that. But then one doctor suggested I take a little bit of calcium. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, okay. And then I heard that on your phone call. I'm like, let's see.
Well, my favorite approach to bone, osteoporosis, bones, remineralization is rather than taking a bunch of synthetic supplements, I like to use real herbs. So I love the combination of horsetail and nettles and alfalfa, oat straw if you want to add that to it, and those are just fresh herbs, or, well, dried, obviously, because you don't have them fresh all year round, but that are very high in silica and magnesium and calcium and all the other nutrients that your bones need. And I've seen phenomenal results with people turning around, like bone density tests that were low, turning around in 6 months.
I think one time you said that you make up a concoction of those and grind them and then use a shaker.
Mm-hmm. Well, I put them in my sleeve, actually. So I buy the dried herbs from Mountain Rose. I used to take the dried horsetail. It turns out horsetail has a B1 inhibitor if you don't heat it and cook it. So I will typically what I would do with the horsetail is I'll just put it in one of those French presses and I pour hot water over it and let it sit overnight. Then I can dump the whole thing into my smoothie the next day and add the other two in powder.
Okay. And then you just use equal parts of each, the nettles.
Equal, yeah, about a teaspoon a day is usually good. If somebody has really severe osteoporosis, I may go to 2 teaspoons of each a day.
That's good. I never got the recipe before, but I remembered you saying how those were the things that you used. And then a caller says she tested her body, and I just have tests run, but I don't know what body testing is.
Well, that's like more of a muscle test. And, you know, some people can muscle test themselves. Some people can't. Some people do it with what they call the sway test, where, you kind of ask your body whether it wants it or not, and it goes forward or back.
Okay, my friend does that. I just wasn't sure. But that seems pretty instantaneous, and I have all these tests run.
Right.
And then I just wanted to say with that B12, my B12 was like 300. And when when I did your ERC program, which was probably the best money I ever spent, I did that 23andMe. And in there it said I had a problem, metabolizing the methyl donors.
Yep.
And so we tried the hydroxycobalamin actually for several months in a supplement. And it still didn't go up. So the only way we got mine up was to do the shots.
To do the shots. Okay.
Yeah. So I had tried, with my integrative doctor to do the supplement with the hydroxo, but it just didn't change. So I do the shots.
When you were taking the hydroxo, were you taking a liquid or a sublingual or a liposomal? What form were you taking? Because that can make a difference too. Because if you're not absorbing B12, it could be that you have a problem with intrinsic factor in your stomach.
Yes. I had that, who told me that? Oh, what's his name? There's that chap you recommend to have your B12 run by.
The one that you do.
Dr. Norman, is it?
Norman Labs, yep.
Yeah. So I spoke to him. He was a very nice gentleman. I spoke to him for a long time, and he said I might have a problem with the intrinsic factor. But, you see, the other thing is, prior to this surgery, my last call to you was because I have SIBO, and it can interfere with your absorption of nutrients, particularly B12 and iron. So that's what I was working on before, trying to find someone that was knowledgeable about SIBO to take you through the whole program. And I listened to you on that SIBO summit.
Yep.
I did Siobhan's SIBO summit. I did it all, and it's like so much information. So that's on my list after my shoulder heals. I have to go back and find someone locally who can really help coach you through it. It's not as easy.
Well, we do that, by the way. Our grand program, we have a whole SIBO protocol, and you can purchase our grand program and do with a private coach. So, and you probably still have access. I don't think we ever took it away. You probably still have access to our grand program, but if you wanted to hire a private coach to do it with you, let us know, because we can do that.
And can they prescribe anything you might need? I know that you can't put it through insurance, but
well, we don't use
you know,
it's a completely natural approach, so there's no prescription involved.
Okay, because I tried it with the natural antimicrobials that in a clinical trial showed to be just as effective as doing the rifaximin. And then, you've got to make sure at the right time you're taking the get the migrating motor complex working.
Right.
And do a Beragast and different things. But my doctor knew to do the test, but everything else after that, you really have to be monitored. So that would be good. Okay, so that's great. Yeah, I still see the list goes on what I have access to. So I'll take a look at the grand program.
Yep.
And that was it. It's just that if Maya's listening for my ERC program from a few years back, I just wanted to say hi to her.
Aw, that's so sweet. Yeah, Maya, I'm looking to see if she's on here. I didn't see her on this call, but she might be on just the web. But yeah, great. Super. Thank you. It's so yeah. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so let's see. We had some questions on the web. All right, so I'll get rid of that. And Mary came back. You got knocked off, Mary.
I did, yes. It was my phone.
Okay.
Internet phone. It's internet phone for you. What can you do?
You never know.
Yeah, you never know. But anyways, I can call long distance, and I don't have a problem sometimes, so it's good.
Good.
Yeah, so I think we're just talking about the order of things, and I think we just left off that. Obviously, the idea would be to, you know, pump up with good stuff and then go do your fast and pump up again with good stuff and whatever the case is. So I think
right.
That was the last that I think I got dropped off. I said something else, and now I can't remember what it was. But okay.
Okay.
No, that's no problem. I will come back if I have any questions at this moment. Nothing's come up.
Okay, cool. Great. All right,
yeah,
thank you.
I can't remember what I said. Thank you.
Well, good luck. I'll keep you posted on how it goes, and I'm sure you'll have a good conversation with Lisa on Saturday.
Yes, thank you.
All right. You take care.
Thank you.
Sure. All right, so it looks like there was a few chats. Suzanne, if you're still on, Lynn responded about why she doesn't like the calcium. She says she likes silica and vitamin C. Bioplasma has silica as well. How do I ask a question, Sandra? If you're on the phone, you have to raise your hand and I'll see it, so do star 2, and that'll raise your hand. Star 2 on your telephone. And if you're just on the web here, just type your question in. Recent medical analysis, calcium supplementation actually increased the risk of heart attacks. Yeah, because of the calcium can deposit in injured endothelial linings. And, of course, it's in isolation. So everything needs to be done. Lynn Rose makes, you know, dark green leafies is your best calcium, and you get tons of it that way. You just have to eat plenty of it, and you have to, you know, go slowly and do all the stuff to make your digestion work properly. Lynn writes in calcium supplementation. So of course, the main coral calcium, oyster shell, citrate, carbonate are not metabolized well. Not well tolerated, they can form small rocks that just get deposited in soft tissue. And given that you just had surgery for your shoulder, that might be that may be an issue that you maybe had some calcium deposits there. So, so this chat, Mary, will get posted with this recording. They always get posted along with the recording on the site, so you can look at that. That's true, right, Lynn? That's what I was under the impression. Yeah, okay. Good. All right. So I don't see any other hands up. Sandra, where are you? I don't see you. There, Madison, Wisconsin. Is that you? Madison, Wisconsin. Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can.
All right.
Yay.
Good evening. Yes. Well, this is the first time that I call on this, so I have no idea.
Okay.
So the question... The question that I have today, I've been taking the magnesium glycinate powder that you suggested.
Yep.
I'm combining it with the magnesium citronate that I still have. So it seems that the dose is about 700 milligrams that it's working for me.
Great. So that's your bowel tolerance dose, you mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Great.
Yeah, it seems some days it's better than others, but for the most part it seems that is working. The question I have is about the bloating. Does it have any relationship with that or not?
Well, are you asking if the magnesium can cause bloating or if it's
connected? Yes.
Yeah, so anything that can cause a gurgling, rumbling in your gut can cause bloating. So if you were not getting if the bloating got worse when you raised the level of magnesium, they could be associated. So you might want to drop it back just a little bit. So if you're at 700, maybe drop it down to 600 and see how that goes. Did you notice that the bloating got worse when you started the magnesium?
Yeah, it feels that my abdomen is more distended now.
Yeah, so I would drop it down. So if you're at 700, drop it back to 600 and see how it goes there. You want to find that sweet spot, right? You always want to find that spot where it will stimulate your bowels, but it without it causing rumbly, gassy, bloaty.
Well, it's not really, well, sometimes it's gassy, but it's not rumbly. It's just that the bowel is more distended.
Mm. Yeah, if you see, the thing is, we don't, anything can cause anything, really, when it comes down to it, right? So it's really a matter of observing your body and going slow with things and just noticing. And if you notice, I have more distension since I started this particular supplement. Let me see what happens if I decrease the dose back down, right? And if you were gradually increasing it, you might have gone through like 600 or 500 or something and had not had that distension, but then when you raised it. So the scientific approach would be, okay, I'm just going to go backwards and then wait a few days and see if the distension goes down and then test it again and add it back and see if the distension comes up. And then you'll have some good, you know, N of one, as they say, data, you know, just your particular body, how it works in your body, and you'll know what to do about it. But we always, you know, use your body as this great experiment ground. Everybody's going to be a little different in the doses that it takes to affect a change and also the dose that it, that's going to cause side effects.
Very true. Well, the thing is, I'm also taking probiotics, you know, it's a mix of many things that
you are, but here's the thing. When you're experimenting, when you're adding, you always want to just have one variable.
Yes.
If you're taking the same amount of probiotics and you're taking whatever else and everything's stable, and then you go, okay, let me take stock of how I feel here. Do I have gas, verbally, you know, how would I rate it on a scale of 1 to 10? It's at a 2. Great. And then you start increasing one thing at a time, right? Because if you do multiple things, then you don't know which one's causing it. And then you see, and it's suddenly like 3 days later, you're going, that distension is at a 6. I wonder if it has anything to do with it. So then you're back down. Does that make sense?
That's a good, totally.
And always one thing at a time. And we're always in a hurry, us human folk, right? We always want to do things as quickly as we can. But inevitably, trying to go too fast slows us down. Because then you have to go, oh, what happened there? Whoops, now you have to go back to square one and start all over again.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah, it's a good plan. And I have another question.
Sure.
I was listening to some of the Better Belly interviews.
Yep.
And there was one that they were talking about histamines. You know, I have this thing that I'm overeating in the evening. And the woman that was talking about it was saying that one of the things could be the overeating, you know, portion of it. How do you know you have a histamine issue?
Usually folks that have a histamine issue notice that after eating, maybe all meals, maybe certain meals, they get, like, red in the face or itchy or signs of histamine, right? Histamine would cause like a runny nose or swelling in the face, swelling on the skin and that sort of thing. So that's a common thing. It could be that you eat and you feel like exhausted after you eat.
Okay.
Back, if you go, I don't think we have it up yet. Yeah, we do. We probably do. On the ERC, you should have access to, I'm just saying should. If you go into the new site, I know you did. So if you log into the new site for ERC, and you go to where under the bonuses, it's going to say Spring Into Vitality. And you're going to have access to all of our previous Spring Into Vitality. So our Spring Into Vitality in the spring, we had a talk where we discussed the various things. We discussed histamine and we discussed oxalate and all that. And it was called, I think it was called Food Dogma, or that was the lecture. So I would go back and look at the slides for that. And on the slides for that, there are some symptom lists, like what are some of the signs of high histamine or histamine sensitivity.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too. Bye. All right. Mary has her hand up one last time. This is the end. We are over time. We are almost at 2 hours. This is supposed to be a 90-minute call. So I'm going to answer Mary's question, and then we're going to say goodnight.
Okay, it's a very quick one.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it was you who gave me a name or a contact for somebody at Health Force to call to order something. Was that you by any chance? Is there a particular name? No?
I don't do phones. I don't do phones.
Okay.
I don't call people.
No. Okay, so it wasn't you.
I can't remember who.
Okay, no, sorry, I didn't know. I thought somebody gave me the name of his mother who deals with and is able to ship stuff because Health Force stuff, we can't get it here. We can't do the probiotics here, but she was sending it to me, but I didn't remember her name, and I thought for sure it was you that actually told me it, and I thought, I'm going to ask you again because it was in one of my agenda books, which is an older one now, and I couldn't find it through. I couldn't find the number through that. Yeah, so I thought maybe it was you. Okay, maybe
no,
it was somebody else.
No, it wasn't
else.
Me.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, right. No problem. Yeah,
all right, good luck
fine.
Finding it. I know how that goes when you know where you know you wrote it, but you don't know where.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
All right, thanks, Mary.
All right.
All
thanks
right.
So much.
Bye, sure. I'm going to say goodbye to everybody. I'm checking the Q&A one last time. Nobody put anything in there, right? Nope. And then the chat, let's see. What's been my observation about the B12 patches? The B12 patches, the first time I ever used them was, probably 8 years ago when my older son was a teenager and he was having some what I thought were over-the-top puberty-type symptoms, and I tested him, and he was low in B12, and we got him patched. Literally within 2 hours of putting the patch on, he came to me and he said, Mom, could that work that fast? My mind is so calm now, and it was amazing. So I've seen that happen. I've known certain people that have had that response. I've had other people who haven't had that quite that dramatic. But he had an amazing response within just – and he did his MMA, methylmalonic acid, and it was like I think it was a 5-point something. So it was really elevated. We did that for 3 months, and then we went back and tested it again, and his MMA was like a 1-point something. It was that dramatic, yes. Now, the ones that he had was, I think that was back when they were cyanocobalamin, and they had folic acid in them. So not as good as some of the ones that are available now, which they have now have methylcobalamin ones, and they also don't have folic acid in them anymore because the folic acid was a synthetic. Well, 23andMe test, the things that would tell you if you were low in B12, clues, right, and you'll get to that when you get to the blood chem module, but MCV on your blood test, MCV or homocysteine, and then 23andMe will tell you if you have that tendency to need more B12, and also it'll tell you whether you need to have to be careful about the methyl groups, like if you have certain parameters, which you learned about the other day on that call. I know yesterday, was it yesterday? It seems like the other day, where there was so much, but that we talked about COMT and that. Oh, you missed that. Oh, the recording should be up hopefully by tomorrow. Actually, the recording went up already. It did. Go to the Shine page. It's on there already. Yeah, it was a good call. There's a lot of information. All right? All right. Thank you, and thank you for your input, Lynn. Appreciate it. All right, everybody. I'm going to open up the lines, and we can all say goodbye on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Good night. Thanks
for
your help.
You're welcome.
Bye.
See you on Saturday, hopefully. We're having our celebrations in the kitchen show with Karen Osborne.
Yeah.
Awesome.
See you then. Bye-bye.